Hello and welcome to the Paddock Bees Pod. I'm Tim Nash, a beekeeper, always wanting to learn more, and also the man behind the Paddock Bees account on Instagram. This is a podcast for those who've fallen into the beekeeping trap and want to learn a little bit more from the beekeeping community. Each week we'll aim to mix up the guests and provide some insights into the world of beekeeping. So sit tight and we'll soon make a start. Hi everyone, I am pleased to say that you don't have to listen to me talking to myself again for another podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by James, the man behind the Broseley Beekeeper Instagram account. Those who follow James will know how informative his posts are and that he provides great insight into his beekeeping experience in Shropshire. I can't wait to find out more about his experiences, so let's get started.
James, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining today. There's absolutely no pressure. You are the first guest. People are no longer having to listen to me talk to myself. So look, I want to crack on. I want to go back to the beginning. I want to understand when you started beekeeping and what got you initially interested in keeping bees.
It started when I was a kid, really. When I was really, really young, we lived at the bottom of a school playing field. And at the bottom of that playing field, it was a bit rough and it wasn't kept for the students or anything else like that. It was kind of just a free-for-all. And in the very corner of the field, there was an old gentleman and he kept some bees. And I remember being about four or five, I think it probably was. And I remember distinctly in the summer, my mum sort of, get inside. And I was like, well, what's going on? The bees are swarming. And that was my first kind of registering of, okay, this is new. I don't have any recollection of bees before that. But every summer, I kind of remember my mum panicking and getting us into the house and shutting the windows. And you'd think, you know, something dreadful was happening. And then I thought, okay, something, this is quite interesting. And said beekeeper always used to bring us round a jar of honey, sort of as a thank you for having the bee so close and putting up with the swarming, I suppose. And it was proper honey. You know the difference. It's not like the shop bought stuff. It had lumps of wax in it. I didn't even think it was filtered that well. By standards these days, you probably wouldn't be allowed to give it to anyone. But I remember looking at it going, okay. And I remember my dad sort of going, that's got the bits of wax in it. I remember there's a bee leg. Not even a joke.
I was going to say, that's the one with the filter, get out the bee legs.
I remember distinctly, there's a bee leg. It didn't put me off because my dad's like, this is proper honey. So that's where kind of the seed was kind of sown. And then a few years later, my parents were obsessed with caravanning back in the 90s. And we used to go to Newquay in Wales all the time. So if it's a long weekend or if it's Whit Week or Easter, we were always there. And I don't know if you know it, but there's a honey farm just outside Newquay, between Newquay and Aberaeron. And my dad took me, because my dad's obsessed with honey. He's proper sweet tooth. So any excuse to get anything sweet. So he used to take my sister and I. And I always remember getting out the car and it was spring, all the flowers were out, the ferns. It was beautiful. And I could hear the bees buzzing around. And walking into this farm shop and there being an observation hive. And that's the kind of first time I'd ever seen inside this hive. Or I had no idea about queens or anything like that. Just, you know, just as a kid. And there I thought, okay, yeah, this is awesome. So, and I've always been into sort of natural history. And I'm just a giant nerd. I have been since I was a kid. But yeah, those were the kind of the two big seeds and the biggest sort of impacts of my life to do with bees. And then I was sort of umming and ahhing about it for years and years. And it got to about 2014. I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. Because I was watching some bees in my parents' garden. I was still living at home at the time. So I thought, yeah, why not? Let's just do it. So my parents were on holiday and I just texted them saying, going on a beekeeping course, text you later. And that's quite normal for me. My parents were like, oh, okay, that's fine. Didn't really pay much attention. And yeah, it all started from that sort of moment of deciding all those years ago of, this beekeeper and Aberaeron on the Newquay honey farm that, you know what, I'm going to do it. So I just read some books, went on a course and thought I was ready and got my first two hives in that summer. And boy, was I not ready.
I think that's definitely it, isn't it? You can read as many books as you want, but until you open up a hive, pick up a frame and really just get that, that buzz and those bees around totally your head. It's like, oh, hang on.
I mean, I went to one experienced beekeeper in Shropshire Beekeepers Society, and he, really, really lovely gentleman called Gordon. And he said, look, do you want to come to mine in the evening and we'll have a look through one of the hives? And that was the second time I'd ever sort of been near a beehive. So this is the kind of decision making, like, am I going to be able to cope with this? And he had really calm bees. I was in jeans. I just had one of the sort of half suits which just covered the torso and the head. But I was exceptionally paranoid about them getting in. So I spent most of the time sort of hugging my waist, making sure there was no gaps. But yeah, and I thought, okay, yeah, I can do this. I've read a few books. I've gone on one course. I've seen inside one hive. I know what I'm doing. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that at all. So yeah.
So that was back in 2014. Two colonies. Fast forward onto 2020.
I currently have 12 colonies, 11 nationals, which is a full size hive, and one nucleus, which is a six frame hive, a baby hive. Overwintering at the moment, looking quite well.
So you've seen them all flying the last couple of weeks.
Well, the last time I was up there was in the snow. I went up just to clear some of the snow off the, because they're not in my garden, sadly. They're a mile or so away from the house. So when it's, I don't get a chance that much to get up there as much as I want to. I could sit outside, I'm sure you'd agree. I could sit outside the hives all day and watch the bees coming and going.
That's one of the challenges I've got. Mine are in the garden. So every now and then it's a lunchtime. So, oh, yeah, I'll just go and have a look. I should probably go back and carry on doing some work. So obviously, 12 colonies from the two. How have you got there? I saw that on Instagram. You seem to be called out to a number of swarms last year, or have you been splitting colonies?
So my beekeeping journey over the last 2 years really has kind of been a little challenging, as to put it mildly. I have no qualms about mentioning I suffer from mental health issues, depression and anxiety mainly. And 2019, I had a bit of a breakdown during the summer, just as it was getting busy for the bees. There's other things going on in my life, and I kind of shut down and thought, right, I need to focus on me, and anything that causes me stress or anything that, you know, I enjoy doing, I cut it off. And sadly, that was the bees as well. I didn't really do any hive inspections. I didn't get them ready for winter. And looking back, it was the huge, huge wrong thing to do. Biggest mistake of my life. Having said that, I sort of spent that winter sort of building myself back up and getting ready for the next season, which is obviously last year, 2020, and then the pandemic started. So I was like, right, okay, this is going to be a challenge. But my outlook on beekeeping and my whole life, really, the bees became an escape for me, like, because I have a full-time job, I have a mortgage to pay, like many other people, and the pandemic was kicking off and the world was turning crazy. So rather than kind of cut everything off and go in on myself, I thought, right, you know, I'm going to go out to my hives. And they became a total escape for me, watching the bees coming and going as they've done for millions of years, albeit not from beehives, but watching their process was kind of like, okay, yeah, this is, it's kind of a grounding feeling. And
I totally get that. I picked up my swarms during lockdown last year, and that real sense of escapism. The last thing you want to do is to, I was going to say put a foot wrong, but put a hand wrong, and before you know it, you're going to have a fair number of bees actually fairly unhappy with what you're doing. So actually taking you out of that environment of lockdown and COVID and taking you to somewhere else where you're completely immersed in what's going on, and I think that's what's so great, nature and just how you get fed on that side of things, and just in awe of how do these bees just keep on going. It's a million miles away from what we're all individually to go through.
It's mindfulness, because when you've got a busy hive in front of you and there's swarm techniques you've got to manage and the honey flow and everything, all these different aspects that come with beekeeping, you have to sort of stand at that hive. You're looking at the bees as they are. You have to immerse yourself into their world for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it may be. But during that time, you don't get to focus on the pandemic or news stories or this and that and all the other stresses. Whereas the year before, I thought it would be the opposite, because the bees were quite stressful at the time. They were swarming when I was trying to control them, and I thought, right, this is too much. But last year I thought, do you know what, it's this that's sort of the lifeboat in the crazy world.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yes. So 12 colonies, 11 nationals, one nuke. Are you a poly hive or are you a wooden hive?
I was asked this on Instagram the other day, and I still think there's something romantic about the old, I say old, the cedar hives, the wooden hives. They just look better and they're very kind of, they're not quite the WBC old-fashioned three-tier white, but they're very close. And I think there's something sort of almost more tangible about when you're building and constructing a wooden hive. It's the smell and the nails that go into it. And you're sort of, in your mind, you're building this safe haven for your bees. Having said that, I think I am starting to convert to polystyrene hives because they do tend to overwinter well. They are totally, totally waterproof. And my woodwork isn't the best. There's a story my parents will never ever let me forget. Back in 2014, when I was becoming a beekeeper, I was building my very first national wooden hive, which I built totally wrong, it turned out. However, I didn't have a workbench. Even though there was one in my parents' garage, I used my parents' kitchen worktop, which was a brand new kitchen. And I mean, it was brand new. It had only been built for about a month. So I put tea towels down and starting to do the woodwork on top of those, thinking the tea towels would protect the work surface. Nope, didn't work. Even to this day on their kitchen island, there is a big scratch and gouge on their work surface from when I was building my beehives. I left my mark. That's one way of putting it. I wasn't very popular at the time. So yeah, building hives for me, I'm not very good at it. And I try and follow the instructions. And I try and get them as square as I can. But I don't know why. They look all right. And I think, it goes. When you try and put them on the floor, it won't quite fit or it's not quite level. I get quite sort of, for God's sake. Whereas the polys, they come straight out of the box. I just think they're much easier for beginner beekeepers as well. I mean, it totally depends. I wouldn't tell anybody to go one way or the other. I have a mixture myself. I have a mixture of different design poly hives. I have wooden cedar hives still. But again, it depends on budget. What about you? What do you, do you use mainly poly or?
So I'm 100% wood at the moment. I have Langstroth hives and I've been looking into maybe changing over, but for me, it's just understanding compatibility between, the equipment that I've got, whether it be a queen excluder and various other bits. I'm having some snail growth boards made at the moment. And it's just trying to think about, well, what I've already got, I want to try and make sure that works with some of the other bits and just cross over that way rather than having, right, I've got all this stuff, which I can't use with that stuff.
No, so amalgamate the kit over the years and you think, right, I'll need a spare super. In my case, because I've got some wooden cedar, I also have Payne's polys, which are much bulkier and have a different exterior shape. So whilst they'll fit on top, they don't fit on top perfectly, so that they'll overhang, and they need a different roof and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I've been in a situation before. I thought, right, I'll go and get a super from the shed. Oh no, I've only got the wrong size left. It's not going to fit. However, last year.
That's what I get worried about. Whereas at least if I just stick with the wooden stuff, is like right
exactly. But saying that, I tried bellow hives last year. They're poly hives, and I'm totally, totally in love because they are exactly the same shape as the wooden. So they are totally, totally interchangeable.
Yeah.
So far, the bees are doing quite well in them. So that's where I think I'm going to go this year. Any new hives that I buy, and there will be more. I think I'm going to go with about this isn't a plug, I'm not advertised, I'm not sponsored, but
it's fine, we'll tag them when we put it on
definitely.
Instagram
about
and we'll get them to listen.
Some free hives would be lovely I saw them at the National Honey Show Spring Convention a few times, and I sort of looked at them going, do I try, because you're always told by older beekeepers, I don't know if you have the same experience, you don't want to go that, you don't want to do this, and you kind of hear all these, you mean that famous expression, you ask two beekeepers a question and you get three answers, so I was a bit nervous, but it looks a bit new, but no, totally sold on them. Hopefully I'll be building the hive count this spring. We shall see what happens. Hopefully it's not as swarmy as last year, because last year was absolutely insane.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that's the difficulty with the hive side of things. I know my personality. I get one poly hive, I'll want everything poly if I think it's good. So actually, thinking about the bank balance and just stick with what you
got. And that's a question I ask quite a lot, is how expensive is beekeeping? And I don't know if you agree, but I kind of think it can be as expensive as you want it, and as kind of cheap as you want it as well. But I would never call it a cheap hobby.
No, I think mine's as expensive as my wife lets it be. So
I won't ask how much that is.
Well, that's fine. We'll see if she listens to this and whether I get it.
Hopefully, if Apollo was
we'll soon find out.
Sponsor, you might get some freebies anyway.
So just moving on to some of these other questions that we've got. The next one we've got is, what do you enjoy most about your beekeeping?
Getting out of the house. Like, because you have to inspect every 7 days by minimum in the spring, you know, I mean, there's a few occasions, especially in lockdown, you think, you know, I'm quite liking this solitary life. There's no drama, there's no stress. But you can kind of be, you can turn into a hermit within your own four walls. So I like the kind of fact that I have to get out. And meeting people as well, like, because of the swarm collecting during the springtime, you can get these panicked people. You know, there's a swarm of bees in their garden and they don't know what to do. So as soon as you arrive, I'm the one that's knowledgeable. I can kind of help them understand what, you know, that they're only swarming. They're not trying to cause any damage and not on the attack. And it's nice to kind of impart some wisdom, if I can, into certain people. And that's what I love. What about you? What's your favorite bit of beekeeping?
Yeah, I really enjoy that. I just enjoy how they'll just always do their own thing, and you can try and manipulate it and do that. And there's always something else you can try. Yeah. There's always a different method to do something. So those who saw my Instagram, I bought a queen rearing kit, and I thought, you know what, I'll give it a go. I got my colonies as swarms. There's one queen that's particularly nicer than the others. No harm in trying to see if we can get some queens from her. And it's just those sorts of things that you can do. And there's always something to experiment with and to try out.
It's never stagnant, is it? And that's what I love as well. You're always learning. I think because beekeeping since 2014 doesn't feel that long, because I don't feel I'm at a stage where I know a lot, if that makes sense, because it's always changing. As you said, the bees will do what they want to. And the amount of times I've gone to them, I've manipulated the hive, say, okay, I've stopped them from swarming. And then a week later, I'll go and inspect them, and there's more queen cells. Think, oh, you little, they're still doing it. And they'll always try and outsmart you. And I like that. You're always on your toes, and you always have to think outside the box. It's not a stagnant hobby. It's forever changing. And that's what I love.
Definitely. So if we counter that and turn that question on its head, what do you dislike most about beekeeping?
I'd have to say extracting honey. I love honey, and the fruits of the labor is definitely worth it. But the whole extracting, taking it off the hive, it's a very sticky job. No matter how tidy you try and be, there'll be propolis stuck on the kitchen side, or there'll be some honey dripping somewhere. And it's just I think it's quite hard work. And I think a few people, especially online these days, and I think social media and media itself are partly to blame. There's this kind of expectation that you can have a hive in your garden and getting honey is very easy. But it's not the case at all. And I've got 12 colonies at the moment. Last year, I didn't have any honey, mainly because they were all new colonies and I didn't want to take any honey off them. So it's not a case of, I think people think you can just shove a hive in your garden and hey, constant source of honey. Doesn't work like that. But I think that the fruits of the labor definitely worth it. And there's nothing better than looking at the honey going, yeah, my bees did that. My hard work paid off for this. However, the process of extracting it, no, I hate it. Especially if it's a hot day, you can't have the windows open because every bee and wasp within a 20-mile radius seems to know that you're doing it and trying to get inside the room as well. But what about you? What bit do you dislike?
that's a good question. I suppose because I've only got back into it again this season, I'm still in probably a bit of a honey, or last season, a bit of a honeymoon period still. And so just the excitement of, doing the extraction and working out which way I want to be doing things. And I think for me, at the moment, there'll be something. I'll dislike the fact that I've made the wrong call on something and you're just doubting yourself. It's like, I should have done it that way. Because at the end of the day, the bees are livestock, and so they do rely on us. And I think I'll easily be in a position where I kick myself for thinking, oh, I should have done it another way to get a better result.
I don't think I've ever had a beekeeping season. I've gone, oh, I did that wrong. I shouldn't have done it that way. And then you'll ask, again, I'll ask one of my other friends who's a beekeeper, and I say, oh, yeah, you can do it this way. And I'll ask another one at the same time, and, oh, you'll do it this way. And you're kind of torn between these two ideas, thinking, well, they both know what they're doing, but which way is the right way to go? And you're kind of stuck in this process of, okay, I'll try it this way. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Like stressful times, I think, is when they're swarming. Yeah. You can try your best to try and stop prevent them from swarming by splitting the colony, or there's all sorts of various methods. There's always one colony that outfoxes me, at least one or two. Every single season, I'll think, yep, I've stopped them from swarming. Then the phone call goes and it's the landowner. Yeah, one of your hives are swarmed, thinking, oh, you little. And off I go again and trying to get them out of a tree. But I don't, you know, I thought I did everything I could to stop them. They'll still do it. As you said, they're wild animals at the end of the day, and they'll do what they want.
Yeah, definitely. Because mine are in the garden, the neighbours know, but I'm still waiting for that text on the WhatsApp on the road. Like, Tim, your bees are in my garden. And we'll see when it happens, but I think it's fairly inevitable. So you've been beekeeping since 2014. You must have had some good experiences, some good stories. Can we share some of your funny stories?
Actually, last season, it was putting the Apigard, which is a varroa mite treatment, onto one of the colonies. And it was October time, and they were not happy to see me at all. They were ferocious. They were all over me. And it was one of those moments you're thinking, why am I doing this? And they were all over the veil. They were all over my hands. The first time I've ever kept bees, I thought, I'm a little bit scared here. But I carried on. I was very calm. And as I walked off, there was a bee flying around my veil. And I thought, oh, hang on. And when my eyes focused, I realized she wasn't on the outside. She was inside. So she was right by my face with the ability to sting whatever part she wanted to. And then I panicked. So I was running up the field, flicking my gloves off, trying to get this suit off, but at the same time trying to keep the bee away from me, as the veil was sort of swinging back and hitting me in the face. Luckily, nobody saw me. But if anybody did, I would have looked like an absolute lunatic, because they wouldn't have been able to see anything. I'd have just looked like a raving lunatic running around, waving and sort of silently screaming and trying to flick this suit off. That was quite a daunting and a scary aspect. And one of my...
The classic beekeeper strip. Never... It's when you realize you should be seeing, you should be seeing the bee at the belly rather than seeing the back of the belly.
My eyes focused, I said, like, oh my God, she's inside the heart and inside the mask. And I realized there's a tiny little hole at the top of the veil where she must have got in. And I didn't, if I'd have known that was there, I'd have never worn the suit. Safe to say it's gone into the bin now. But yeah, I was racing like a lunatic. Favorite part I've had was probably one of my colonies. There was a queen cell, which I left a bit too late and I got rid of. But as I was holding it in my hand, the queen emerged. And I'd never seen that before. And I actually caught it on camera. It's on my Instagram. So I was quite sort of pleased that, so, okay, this is a brand new virgin queen emerging from a cell. And I shared it on social media. And ITV News Central actually caught it as well. And they shared it online. And I think it was actually on TV. I didn't see it, but a few people I know said it was on there. And it was kind of weird that people were talking to me.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, because I think we all get used to seeing workers emerge and them coming out. But yeah, seeing a queen, obviously, because that's only going to be the narrow part of the season, really. And not as many of them as clearly
that was quite cool. And then last year, I was walking past one of the hives and I could hear this piping, tooting noise. I was thinking, what's that? And there's a queen, and I actually caught her on video piping, and it's got me wondering why. Well, you know, it's a really unusual noise. It's not, if anyone hasn't heard it, it's not like a buzzing at all. It's literally like a little kazoo. It's ever so.
Go on, for it.
No,
I want to hear it. Go on.
It's almost like a. I can't do it. It's not going to do
it. You've done
it
now. You've gone there.
It sound like. It's like literally like a little kazoo, and I caught her on video doing it. And again, I've kept bees since 2014. This is the first time I'd ever seen it happening, even though you read about it in books. And there were several theories online and in books of why they do it. Like, is it a war cry? But apparently it's sort of her announcing her arrival to the colony, like she's taking over now. But also queens that haven't yet emerged reply, which is kind of like a silly thing to do, because as soon as she hears them, she goes and dispatches them, shall we say. She goes and kills them. That was quite cool. Definitely. But I think my favourite part about beekeeping is just sitting and watching them. I can literally sit for hours just by the entrances. And I think online, especially on Facebook, like, people share it all the time. And I think I put it on Instagram quite a lot. And I think other beekeepers sometimes go like, we all know what this looks like. But I love it to watch the different kinds of pollen coming in, the bees learning to fly. And again, it's going back to that whole, the world is crazy. Life runs at a million miles an hour, yet here are these insects coming and going as they've done for millions of years with no care in the world that I'm sat right by the hive. And it's just kind of, it's hypnotic. It's like watching fire. And I like sharing that with people, because again, people who don't have bees, I find they're quite fascinated by it and just watching them. And I like to share that, my kind of the bit I love about beekeeping, I like to share that with the world, I think. And that's what I love, just to sit and just watch them coming and going.
Yeah, and I think there's such a huge misconception. People think, you can't go anywhere near that. They're all just going to go and attack you and go after you. But actually, spending some time watching the comings and goings.
Especially because I have a full-time job. I sit at a computer 9 to 5 staring at the screen. So it's nice to kind of get outside and just be surrounded by nature for a bit. Like, where I keep my hives, I'm very lucky, especially the ones down the road in a tiny little village called Bildruss, on the banks of the River Severn. There's loads of, I think they're fallow deer, hundreds and hundreds of them, and they're always in the field next to the bees. So when I get up there, there's deer in the field, the birds are singing, and the bees are coming and going, and that's all you can hear. It's in the middle of nowhere. And when I'm sort of on the phone to clients all day, or like as I said, looking at the computer, to totally take myself out of that and go back to nature, which I think is medicine for any kind of ailment that anybody could ever have, especially for mental health, it's so rewarding. Yeah, it's huge.
It's such a strong grounding, isn't it? It's just kind of so good for just a bit of perspective and just understanding that there's so many bigger things at play, so much more is happening.
We get consumed in our own little bubbles, and it's kind of nice to realize that not everything revolves around us.
So 2020 was a season for rebuilding. And so plans as we go into 2021...
Just to maintain the hive count, really. Hopefully everyone survives the winter. It's looking likely at the moment. They're going through their sugar fondant quite quickly, I've noticed, even though they have quite a few stores left, which I was surprised at. But so far, touch wood, I know we've got a long way to go. And sort of March is kind of that scary time when the colony will tend to collapse if they're doing poorly over winter. 2021 plans are to maintain the hive count and hopefully get some honey. I've got a lot of people asking for some honey, and it'd be nice to kind of show the hard work. Yeah,
I was going to say, if you're taking some honey off 12 colonies, then you should be disappointed.
Well, I remember my very first season, honey crop. So, I contacted the greengrocers in the village Brosley, where my other hives are. I said, look, do you want to buy some honey? And I said, we're up for that. Bring 12 jars. Was it 12 jars? Like, we'll probably sell 6 a month. I was like, are you sure? I was like, yeah. So I took up 12 jars exactly as they said. Came home and published on Brosley Bee's Facebook that the honey was now available at the greengrocers. An hour later, I had a phone call saying all 12 jars had gone. Could I bring more? I was like, yes, I beat the 6-month jar record. I sold 12 in an hour. So I was actually working on the Monday. So my partner and his mum took up 75 jars on the Monday. And by Thursday, they'd all gone again. So I can't meet demand at the moment, which is a shame, but I'd rather healthy and full-size colonies than jeopardize taking any honey off. What about you? What are your plans for this year?
Totally get that. So what are my plans? So because I've not got much space, kind of the plans managing this warming season, I want to try and do that vertically. So rather than going out horizontally, just because I haven't got the footprint to do that. And then from that point, I think probably reunite later in the season, just given the fact that we are urban environment. I've got the 3 colonies in the garden. For me, I think I just want to sustain that. I do have, some mini mating nucleus hives. And again, if I go down that route of doing the queen rearing side of things, maybe use them and play about with that for a bit. But I think just sustain them, get them through. I'll probably end up going in, helping picking up some swarms and dealing with those swarm calls and passing those on to some
Did you get many swarm calls last year?
I always enjoy that. I was asked to deal with four, three of which are the ones that I hived. The fourth one, I was on the phone to another beekeeper, went back into the garden just to see them flying over the person's fence. All right, not my issue anymore. tried to track them down again, but no, yeah, long gone.
I collected 11 swarms. But that's, I think I passed about five or six calls to other beekeepers just because I couldn't keep up. I think there's one day I had like three or four swarms in one day. And I'd never, ever seen it that busy before. The year before, it was kind of quite quiet. I thought, you know, wasn't it very swarmy? But last year, it just went insane. And I was out in the car collecting, climbing trees and cutting people's hedges and tempted to get a part-time job as an arboriculturist because of that many, spent that much summer time chopping down branches to access bees and whatnot. It was quite entertaining. But yeah, hopefully this year won't be quite as insane. Although I do still quite enjoy collecting swarms, yeah, it'd be nice not to have quite so many.
Well, hopefully we'll be doing a few bonus sessions of this podcast. And one of the sessions I want to do is talking to our local swarm coordinators. So they're the ones that I teamed up with and they teamed me up to go and get the other ones. I think just good for people to know what to do if you see a swarm and typically what should we be having in our swarm catching toolkit and just getting some wisdom from the seasoned team who do it locally here in Newbury, because I found them a wealth of knowledge and information. And I think
definitely. I remember collecting my very first swarm and I had no idea what I was doing. I sort of shoved them in a cardboard box and thinking, are they in? you can't rush it either. You have to wait till the evening till they're all in, and there's so many different aspects to it. But I love it. There's nothing better than getting that call going, yes, because they're free bees. As long as you can access them, you're building your hive count. Yeah. So I love it. I really love getting a phone call, primarily because I get to help people. I love that kind of getting out in the car saying, okay, there's nothing to worry about. Yeah. I'll deal with it. But they'll get closer and closer as you start putting them into the hive. People start to tend to be a little bit braver and go, so what's this? What's that? And they're fascinated by them. And they go from being scared they're going to be attacked by some rapid swarm to understanding that it's a natural process and not to be worried about it. So as long as I can continue to educate people that it's nothing to be afraid of, I'm a happy beekeeper.
So if we've got an audience out there, people who are thinking about getting into beekeeping this season,
definitely contact your local beekeeper association and spend an entire season learning the craft before you even think about buying a hive. As I said earlier, I think there's definitely a social media aspect behind it, and it's, you see it on documentaries. There was one the other day with Sarah Beeney, and it made beekeeping look so simple, and it's not. You have to learn about animal husbandry, essentially, disease management, pest management, swarm management. There's so many different aspects to it. And as I said, I've been keeping bees since 2014. There've been beekeepers keeping the bees since for 60, 70 years plus who still don't know everything because you can't. So definitely read as much as you can. And by all means, follow people on Instagram, ask questions, watch YouTube videos. But the most important thing is don't just think you can buy a hive and class yourself as a beekeeper. Take it slow, learn the craft, shadow someone else. I think that's a brilliant idea, finding another beekeeper in your area. Just get a spare suit and just watch them, because the amount of times I've heard people that want to get into beekeeping get a hive, and as soon as they're surrounded by bees, they get quite panicked because it's quite a daunting thing. I think you'd agree when you've never done it before. It's like, oh, there's thousands of insects buzzing around my head. It's quite a scary. Even now, sometimes you'll open the hive and you're thinking, oh, these guys are feisty. They're not very happy to see me. Take it slow. Contact your local association and literally listen to everyone. Ask advice from everybody. As I said, you can ask two beekeepers a question and you'll get three different answers from just two people. But keep asking the questions and just listen to advice and don't rush into anything.
And so for you, what has this week got in store? What are your jobs for the
week? Well, I've had things in my shopping cart and thorns and pains and a bellow for a few days now. I've run out of shed space. So I've contacted my parents to see if their garage is empty, and it's not. So that's another place where I can't put some spare equipment.
Just saying that. Because
oh no,
of
my
the
dad sent photo evidence to make sure there was no beehives being sent his way. I need to start planning. I've got a few spare hives for this season, but I know I'm going to need more. One other thing I hate about beekeeping is frame building. I don't know why. I find it quite laborious. The first few I enjoy because the smell of the wax, but when you get to your 70th, 80th frame, it's like, oh, I've still got so many more to do. But yeah, I need to start organizing equipment and hefting the hives as well this weekend. I haven't gone to them for a week or two. So I just want to make sure the stores are okay and I've got some fondant ready for them. But I'm just looking forward to the spring to get back in, really.
And one of the important questions that I want to finish on, where and when will people be able to buy
Well, at the moment, it's all
up in
the air. Hopefully, it depends on the pandemic as well. Things are always changing. I was hoping maybe to do some local deliveries in my area. But I will be approaching local greengrocers and a few farm shops have already contacted me. So hopefully, if we have a good spring, hopefully around May time, the spring crop will be done. And hopefully, touch wood, July time for the summer crop. So we just have to see.
James, once again, thank you so much for joining me today on the Paddock Bees podcast. I've really enjoyed hearing more about your journey. Hopefully all of our listeners will agree that it's been really beneficial to them and there's definitely takeaway things that they can apply into their beekeeping. For those who are listening, don't forget to check out James's Instagram, The Brosley Beekeeper, or his Facebook page, Brosley Bees. James, thanks again. Everyone else, we hope to have you back here for the next episode of the Paddock Bees podcast. Thanks. Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to join me today for the Paddock Bees pod. Really hope you found it useful. I'd love for you to come back and to give me some extra feedback. So like I've said before, head over to Instagram, send me a direct message. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you want to hear about. So please don't hesitate to give me your thoughts. Once again, thanks for joining. See you next time. Bye.